Tonight we are going to be starting in the thin lines of the Gemara. Remember, the Gemara is the middle section. From the end of the thin lines, count up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines. Are everybody with me? Okay. Tanya. Yeah. Right before that, Tanya. Okay. Now, if you recall, I think I mentioned some time ago. I probably gave it to you also. Tanya, if you look on this page over here, you'll see the translation. Tanya means it is learned in a braisa. And I'm pretty sure that in an earlier handout than this one, I gave you Tanya, what Tanya means. So I didn't re-give it to you, but that is Tanya. So when you see Tanya, that is an automatic indicator that we are starting a new idea. Because a braisa, anyone remember what a braisa is?
Well, it's not quite a Mishnah, but it's...
Right. It's a Tanaitic statement. Okay, it's a Tanaitic teaching. And that's why the word Tanya has in it the word Tana. Okay? All right, so this is a class in which we are trying to find the pauses so that we can try to string together the phrases. So, as you see, after the word Tanya, there's a star, an asterisk, which tells you that this is discussed elsewhere, okay? And in this case, you find it across the page. If you're using the art scroll version, there's a little dalet. It's really hard to make out. The copy's not very good. Okay, anyway, but it's in a Tosefta in Sota. All right, that's not so important for our purposes. Now, our question is, what is the next pause? Okay, and immediately we see the word Amar. What does the word Amar mean? Amar means said, okay? If it's a trick question, I'll let you know. Okay. Usually it's not a trick question, okay? Amar, so Amar, you're going to find a name. And here, unfortunately, the Gemara doesn't actually give us a name. It gives us an abbreviation. Resh Shin. Anybody want to guess what the Resh stands for? Rabbi. That's Rabbi. And the Shin?
Shlakish.
No, Jerry.
Shema? No.
The other Jerry. The correct Jerry.
Which Jerry?
The correct Jerry. It's Rabbi Shimon. Okay, it's Rabbi Shimon. So I'm Rabbi Shimon. So once we have I'm Rabbi Shimon, now we have to find out what Rabbi Shimon says. How do you find out where's the end of the quote?
Va'ani. Until Va'ani.
So you're looking at the Vav. All right, so that's a good possibility. Okay, Va'ani. All right, anybody else want to take a stab at it?
Kemoso.
What does Kemoso mean?
Like him,
okay. All right, so these are good possibilities. Anybody else want to take another stab at it? Smack in the middle of that line, you also have Reish Ayin. What do you think Reish Ayin stands for?
Rabbi Akiva.
Yes, indeed it does. Okay, so we have a number of different possibilities. So, because it's not clear where it would be, although the truth is that it would be a little more clear if you remember what we discussed last time. This Gemara, so I'll just quickly review what we were talking about. This Gemara begins, if you look at the top of the page, second line, we had a teaching of Rav Chana Bar Bizna in the name of Rabbi Shimon Chasida, who quoted the pasuk from Zechariah that talks about the four fasts. Okay, we started learning this Gemara in the week of Asara B'Teves. And so we were discussing about how the fast days might be applicable in a time when the Beis HaMikdash is built. And of course, the Gemara is talking in a time post-second Beis HaMikdash. So maybe the things which were relevant to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash is relevant at that time. But after the second Beis HaMikdash is built, So some of those things shouldn't be relevant anymore. And if even though the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the time of the discussion in this Gemara, but the second Beis HaMikdash's destruction is different than the first Beis HaMikdash's destruction. So to assume that the fasts should automatically follow the teaching from Zechariah, which is referring to the fasts following the destruction of the first or second? Zechariah can only be talking about the first. Okay, remember, Purim is the closing of the canon of the Tanakh. That's the last book that's entered in Tanakh. Purim. When does Purim take place? Towards the end of the, or maybe even after the end of the 70 years between first and second Beis HaMikdash. Okay, it's before or around the time of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. So any prophecy refers to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the immediate aftermath. So if Zechariah is talking, he's talking about fast days related to which Beis HaMikdash? The first. Okay, so if the second Beis HaMikdash has been built in the interim, okay, and destroyed, okay, so let's talk about that for a second. So if it's been destroyed, what do we know is the same about the second Beis HaMikdash from the first Beis HaMikdash? The date of the destruction?
7 years later?
No. The destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash as per, right, that's the same day. The year doesn't matter, but the point is that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av,
right,
and the first Beis HaMikdash also destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Second Beis HaMikdash, the breaching of the walls of Yerushalayim was in the month of Tammuz. First Beis HaMikdash, also the month of Tammuz. Okay, so those are the same. Now, was Gedaliah killed again after the second Beis HaMikdash? Okay, that's a silly question. Was Gedaliah killed again? No. Was there another guy named Gedaliah killed after the second? No. So that would be something which would be only relevant to the first Beis HaMikdash. And if there's a whole new, there's a monarchy, right? Remember during the time of Hanukkah, which is in the second Beis HaMikdash, there are kings in Israel. But there's a Beis HaMikdash and it's functioning. The kahuna was a little corrupt, but still the Beis HaMikdash functioned. So the Rambam says in the laws of Hanukkah, he says Chazur Malchus Yisrael. So there's 200 years, over 200 years that there are Jewish kings. He says this is a good thing, even if it wasn't such a great time. Okay, so when we look at all that, we say, okay, some of these fasts, maybe they should be reenacted and reinstated after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, but all of them? So that's essentially the underlying question behind all of this, and what does it mean if we live in a time when you don't have the non-Jews oppressing you, they're not standing over your back looking to kill you, such as we have, by and large, in America today, and by and large, in Israel, obviously there are people who want to kill the Jews in Israel, but it's a Jewish country. Who pulls the strings? Who's running the show? It's a Jewish government. Whether you like the secular government or you don't like a secular government, it's a Jewish government. Those are the facts of the case, Your Honor. Of course there are terrorists and there are people who want to kill the Jews, but there's a very strong Israeli army and there's Israeli police. So you can't say that it's an oppressive time for the Jewish people. On the other hand, as the Gemara began, can you say that there's peace in the land? No, you can't say there's peace in the land. So it's a kind of a limbo state. So that's the thrust of the argument of the Gemara. So now, what we saw before was just discussion surrounding the different fast days and why Tisha B'Av is different than the other fast days, and why Tisha B'Av is therefore a longer fast day, it's 25 hours instead of just starting in the morning, and why it's just considered to be so much more severe and strict, etc. Because as the Gemara said, you had a lot more things going on in Tisha B'Av, it's not just the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So now we get at to Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon is going to tell us something, and we have different possibilities as to where the pauses are going to be. So I'm just gonna cut to the chase, because with all that background, if you look at you see where the line where we started, Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon. So skip the entire next line and look at the beginning of the line after it. Okay, where there's a little notation right at the beginning of the line where it says Tzom Harvi. Okay, so it's been a while. We didn't have a class last week, but Tzom Harvi is a direct quote from the Pasuk in Zechariah. The Pasuk in Zechariah talks about the fast of the Revi'i. Revi'i meaning the fourth month. The fourth month. So once you see that, if we had been learning this Gemara straight without a two-week pause, so we would remember that that's a quote. So one of the things which we've noted here is that when there's a quote, you know that there's a pause. So the Jerry who said Kimoso, that was correct. Okay, but why? Not because you recognize the word Kimoso, but because what follows immediately afterwards is a quote, something which we've already seen before. So now we have to break down what we see. So everything up until that point is basically the beginning of what Rabbi Shimon says. So it's Arba'a Devarim. Again, I'm reading this without inflection, so that again, meaning as I've done in the past, reading this without inflection so we could try to break it down into smaller phrases. Amar Rabbi Shimon. So that is always, once you've identified the name of the person who's speaking, and you identify that he's not quoting somebody else. Mm-hmm. Like on the top line of the page, we saw, Amar Rabbi Chana Bar Bizna, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida. So if it's just him, and he's not quoting anybody else, then we know that his name is over, and now we're going to see what he says. So Amar Rabbi Shimon, again, without inflection, and let's see if we can break it down. Arba'a Devarim, Haya, Rabbi Akiva, Doresh, Va'ani, Ein, Doresh, Kimoso. Okay, so we see the vav in va'ani. Remember the vav? That's always an indicator. So there's two kinds of ants. There's the blue and gold, where the word va'ani is connected to what came before it. And there's the other kind of ant, which is there's one idea, and there's another idea. So which kind of vav is this? Is it blue and gold, or is it one idea, and here's a new idea?
The whole thing's one idea.
No, so what you're basically saying, Jerry, is you're saying that it's Arba Dvarim Haya Rabbi Kiva Doresh Va'ani. Okay, Doresh Va'ani. The Doresh, for example, is one noun, and Ani is another noun. And then whatever follows afterwards is might be related or not. Okay, does everyone agree that this is a blue and gold kind of vav? Doresh Va'ani are two words which go together. But what does Ani mean? I. What does Doresh mean?
Interpret.
Okay, so now it's interpret and I. You want to change your vote, Jerry?
Doresh goes separately.
Yes, okay, so that is correct. Doresh does go separately, which means that our phrase up until Va'ani is one phrase. So let's take a look. Rabbi Shimon. Arba Dvarim Haya Rabbi Akiva Doresh. Now we can start talking. What is Arba'a? It's a number. Four. Devarim?
Things.
Haya? It's a past tense word, right? Were, did. Haya Rabbi Akiva Doresh. Rabbi Akiva would teach. Okay, teach. Doresh sometimes means to paskin, but this is a teaching that Rabbi Akiva had. Okay, so that's the first part. And then we know that our next pause is going to be at somewhere V, so the next four words are a phrase. Va'ani ein doresh kamoso. Va'ani means?
No.
Ein means?
Do not.
Right, it's a negating word. Ein doresh kamoso. I don't doresh kamoso as he does. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon is basically going to be showing us a teaching of Rabbi Akiva, and he's going to show us where he disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. Okay, now, it happens to be that he mentions four items. The Gemara here is only going to show us one item. Okay, you want to find the other ones? So you have to follow that other footnote with which this whole thing began. Okay, remember? Am Rabbi Shimon, Arba Dvarim, Ve'ein Ani Doresh Kamoser. Okay, in other words, that's all in that same footnote. Okay, what's the first one? What's the first thing that he teaches? Where's the break, folks? It begins with the word somarvi. Where's our next break? Ha'ir, why? Ha'ir is correct. Why? Because what's the next word?
Shanamar.
Shanamar indicates a quote. A quote from a pasuk. Not only that, but that little circle indicates that there is a quote from a pasuk. Okay? So let's go back. Tomar Avi'i, that's a phrase which we're familiar with. Ze Tes. What does Tes stand for?
Nine.
Correct. It's a number. Tes is a number. Number nine. And in the first handout I gave you, for those who needed a review or a refresher or just maybe don't know, I gave you a list of the numerical values of all the letters. That was in the first handout, which I have more copies if anybody needs. Okay, so Tzomer Avi, Ze, Tes, Bitamuz, Shebo, Huvka, Ha'ir. So what phrases stand out here that we might be familiar with? Okay, Tzomer Avi, that's already clear. That's a quote from the Pasuk. So what's Tzomer Avi? The fast of the fourth month. What's the fourth month? Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. Okay, so what's the fast of the fourth month? You said Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Okay, so you're right. But obviously the Gemara doesn't agree with you because the Gemara gave us a different date.
The first.
Okay? He says, Zeh Tes B'Tammuz. What's Tes B'Tammuz?
Ninth.
It's a ninth B'Tammuz. Okay? Shebo Huvka'a Ha'ir. That's the end of our quote. So if you... Now, ear is a word I think some people might be more familiar with. What is an ear? Ayin Yud Resh? It's a city. Okay? Shebo Huvka'a Ha'ir. Shebo means that in it, meaning in that date, huvka'a ha'ir. So that's a kind of word, if you're not familiar with it or if you can't figure it out from context, it means that's when the city was breached. So you'd have to look up that word. That is a classic just case of needing to look something up in a dictionary. Okay, so he's saying that the fast of the fourth month was on the ninth of Tammuz, because what happened at that time was the city was breached. We are all familiar with the 17th of Tammuz, right? Yeah. Right? So where does he get this 9th of Tammuz from? So I'll tell you the answer, right? One is the first Beis Hamikdash, which was in the 9th of, which was in the 4th month, but not on the 17th of Tammuz, it was the 9th of Tammuz. And the second Beis Hamikdash, also in the 4th month, was the 17th. So which one do we do now? The 17th. Okay, now, as far as the Gemara goes, that doesn't matter, because Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon can give the same drasha about the Tzom Harvi'i, because guess what? In the first Beis Hamikdash, what happened in the fourth month? In Tammuz, the city was breached. Second Beis Hamikdash, what happened in the fourth month? The city was breached. So that's the same reason, just several hundred years later, a different temple. Okay, so now, but he's going to give us a quote. How would we know when the quote ends? Because what are we supposed to do, like good students? We're supposed to look it up. And I had promised that I had given you all the quotes, and I lied. Okay, I gave you the pasuk in Zechariah, I gave you the pasuk in Yechezkel, and another pasuk in Yechezkel, and I missed the Yirmiyahu one, which really bothers me, and I apologize. Okay, but however, if you look at the art scroll one, they give it to you. Okay, so if you look on the page here that has a Yirchas with two dots on the top right, and you look in the left column, you'll see, let me see. Ah, here. Okay, it's the second pull quote at the letter base. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
See, it says Bachodesh. I'll read it because it's hard to read. Okay? But remember, please compare this to the quote that's in the Gemara. Bachodesh Arvi'i. Or you know what? I'll read the pasuk and you guys follow in the Gemara and you call out when the quote from the pasuk ends in the Gemara. B'chodesh harvi'i b'tisha l'chodesh v'yechazak ha'ra'av b'ir v'lo haya lechem l'ama aretz v'tivaka ha'ir v'chol anshei milchama. Okay, so it stops where? At? V'tivaka ha'ir. Okay, so when you look at that, you see that that's the quote. Now, it happens to be that v'tivaka ha'ir is the beginning of a new pasuk. Okay. It's just two words of the next pasuk. But as far as we are concerned, the main thing for us to know is that up through Vatibakair is a quote from the pasuk, so that we know that is where the Gemara is getting these words from. So we were to translate them, and if you do your due diligence as we are supposed to when we come across a pasuk, is we would read it in a book and figure out what it means in that context. And what does it mean? B'tish'a l'chodesh vav v'yechazak rav. So what kind of vav is that? Is that blue and gold, or is that a new idea? Is it l'chodesh v'yechazak? Is that two words that go together, like blue and gold?
It goes together, yes.
To the month, and it was strong. You want to change your vote, Jerry?
Rachak rav.
No. No, I'm talking about Lachodesh and Vayechazak. The question is the Vav. Does the Vav combine with does it combine the word that it's in to the word that beforehand? Okay, Vayechazak. Okay, so again, when I just want to clarify. When I ask about a Vav, I'm asking which kind of Vav is it? Is it a Vav which combines the word that comes before it with the word that it's in? Or is it a separate idea from the word that comes before it? Okay, it's a separate idea. Okay? So here we go. So B'tishal HaChodesh, Barvi B'tishal HaChodesh means in the fourth month and the ninth day. It's a quote from the pasuk. That's the pasuk giving us the date. Vayechazak ha-ra'av ba'ir. Another vav. Velo haya. So again, it's a separating. So vayechazak ha-ra'av ba'ir means that the famine became strong in the city. Velo haya lechem la'ama arts. That's the end of the pasuk. We saw that because we looked it up. Velo haya lechem la'ama arts. Velo.
If there wasn't.
Okay, velo haya, and there wasn't. Lechem, bread, la'am ha'aretz, people of the land. Bati baka ha'ir, that gives us the information of what happened. The city was breached. Okay, that's the end of the quote. So now Rabbi Shimon's going to continue. Okay, and we might have known this anyway because of the vav, and amai is a Gemara word rather than a pasuk, but we looked it up. Okay, so now when's our next break?
V'amai
is a question.
Right.
Okay, that's a word that we would have to know. That's a Gemara word, which we may have even seen before. But more clearly, we're trying to get phrases. So we're not going to break it down necessarily after one. I mean, we'll see that V'amai is clearly is part of the question. But where is the next clear pause? Remember, we have noted in the past.
Ravi.
Which Ravi? Because
you're the first one. Well, the second one starts on the phrase.
Ah, correct. Okay, that's the point. When you have a repeat, you have the word revi twice in a row. Revi twice in a row means not revi'i, revi'i, 4-4, but that the first revi'i is part of the phrase that comes before it, and the second revi'i is part of the phrase which comes after it. So now we note the word ve'amai. The word ve'amai indicates a question. Ve'amai kari le revi'i. So why does the pasuk call this fast? Why does it say the word revi'i? Kari. What is the word kari?
Kri.
Call.
Right, to call or to be readed, right? So ve'amai kari le revi'i. Why is it called revi'i? And what's the answer? Revi'i lachadashim. Okay, which we already know. But again, it's a quote from a Brisa. So the Brisa is telling us that it means Revi'i LaChodeshim, the fourth of the months. Okay, let's continue. Tzoma Chamishi. That's a phrase which we know from where? That's a repeat. Where is that from? That's from the Pasuk in Zechariah. Okay, go back to this page that has the black bleeding. If you recall, I just knocked out Hashem's name because I didn't want it to become something questionably shamos. Ko amar Hashem Tzvaos. If you just close the booklet completely, you'll see it. It's on the back page. Ko amar Hashem Tzvaos. Tzoma Revi'i. V'tzoma Chamishi. V'tzoma Shvi'i. V'tzoma Asiri. Yel Beis Yudel Sasono Simcha. At the fast of the fourth, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh. And if you look in the English tells us the fast of the fourth means the fast of the fourth month. That's the Tammuz fast. Tzoma Chamishi, it's the fast of the
fifth month,
which is the Av fast. Tzoma Shvi'i is the fast of the seventh month, Tishrei, which is Tzom Gedalia, and Tzom Asiri is the fast of the tenth month, Teves. So we get to the phrase Tzoma Chamishi here, and what does that remind us of? Well, no, it reminds us of the quote. What's the quote? The quote from the, we just read it, guys, from the pasuk in Zechariah. Okay, so now once it says Tzoma Chamishi, remember what did it just do? What did it just do with Tzoma Revi? It says what's Tzoma Revi, and then it defined for us what Revi means. So now it's going to do the same thing. This is the Brisa Tzoma Chamishi. Well, let's define what is the Tzoma Chamishi, the fast of the fifth month. So he tells us Tzoma Chamishi. So where's the answer?
Zeh
Tisha B'Av, correct. Okay, that means Tisha B'Av. So how do you know that Tisha B'Av is a phrase? Because you're Jewish and you know that Tisha B'Av is a phrase. Okay, Zeh Tisha B'Av. All right, and where's the next break? Okay, but again, the indicator, you clearly have Hebrew skills. So what we have to use out, you have enough Hebrew skills that you're a step ahead. What's our indicator of the next break? The vav in ve'amai. Not only that, ve'amai is a repeat. Okay, in other words, we've seen a formula here that the Gemara is asking a question. Ve'amai, why is this phrase used in the pasuk? What does it mean? So now we'll take what Abe said. Shebo nisraf beis Eloheinu. The fast of the fifth is Tisha B'Av, and Shebo nisraf beis Eloheinu. Any of those words familiar? What's a bias? A house. What's Eloheinu?
House of God.
Our God. So the house of our God. Now, Shebo nisraf.
It was burned.
Right? So, right. So if you, again, if you don't know these words, you look them up. But Shebo nisraf means that it was burned. So Tisha B'Av is the day on which the Beis Eloheinu, the house of our God, the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, was burned. Okay, next. Where is, what does V'amai show us? A new what? A new idea, yes, but what kind of idea?
A question.
Okay, we saw that before, V'amai. So, if I'm going a little faster with some of these things, it's because we've seen them already. So if you've seen them, part of the skill of making your way through a Talmudic passage is doing your best to remember. And this is one of the reasons why Chazara, reviewing, is so essential to Talmud study. That you go through it, you say, oh, good, I got it. Now I'm going to do it again. Why? Because I'll refine it a little more. I'm going to do it again. Now I'm going to know it. I'm going to do it again. By the time you've done it 15 times, guess what you find? You know it by heart. That's what Chazara is. You know it by heart. So that's not our goal. Our goal right now is to break things down. So, but this is what we're up to. V'amai. So if you look, go back up two lines. Right? The second to last thin line. Look at the middle word. V'amai karile revi. Remember we had asked that question. Now look over here. What's the language? V'amai karile chamishi chamishi. Right? So what is that? What do we see again? Same format. Chamishi twice. So that means that where does our question end? After the first chamishi. And it's the same question. The amai karile chamishi. Why is this fast called the fast of the fifth? Okay, and remember, in one of the earlier classes I also mentioned that sometimes you have to just talk it out. You have to go through. Meaning, you understand what the Gemara's words are, but you want to talk it out. So, V'amai kari lechamishi. And why is the second fast mentioned in the Pasuk in Zechariah referred to as the fast of the fifth? Fifth what? And so, what's the answer? Just like before we saw Ravi'i lechadashim, here it's saying, Chamishi lechadashim. Okay, I'm trying to make clear that I chose this Gemara to do with us, not just because it was of interest in terms of the Aser HaBeteves discussion that we began with at that time, but because it's a Gemara whose formula is relatively easy to follow and to break down, because it's so repetitive. So Mashavi'i, right? Same thing. Zeh. So where's the break? Well, yeah, I mean, the question is the same. Okay, that's the quote. Somer Shavi, that's the quote from the Pasuk. So, okay, but how do we know when there's a clear break? Levav. Okay, good. So now let's get the phrase all the way up until there. Zeh Gimel B'Tishrei Shebo Neherag Gedalia Ben Achikam. Okay, so as Abe pointed out, Gimel B'Tishrei, that's telling us the date. We know that the quote from the Pasuk refers to what? What number is it? When the Pasuk says a number, what's the number referring to? A month. Okay, it's a month number. But the Gemara, or Rabbi Shimon, is telling us what the date is in the month. So we know it's the seventh month. Gimel Tishrei equals the third day of Tishrei. Remember, Aleph is one. Beis Gimel, Shebo Neherag Gedalia Ben Achikam. Well, Gedalia Ben Achikam, that's a name. So what's Shebo Neherag? That on that day, Shebo, on that day, on that date, Gedalia Ben Achikam was, Neherag was killed. Okay? Where's our next break? After Gedalia Ben Achikam. So we know it's Umi.
Yeshua ben Tanya.
Okay, so so what do you find actually? Look at the word immediately after Netanya.
Hargo.
Okay? Look at the word, two words after Achikam. After Achikam. Go back to Achikam. Umi Hargo Yishmael ben Netanya Hargo. Okay, so that's a repeat. That's a flag. Now we have to understand how the Gemara is punctuated. Okay, because the break is going to be somewhere around that word Hargo, because it's a repeat. Remember the repeat rule? Repeat means there's a pause here. So now the question becomes, where is the pause? Before or after? So now, Abe pointed out the phrase, Yishmael ben Netanya. Yishmael ben Netanya? That is what? What is that? Sounds familiar, right? Ya'amol, Yishmael ben Netanya. You don't want to give Yishmael ben Netanya an aliyah. He's not a good guy. But Yishmael ben Netanya is a... Come on, guys, not a trick. It's a what? What is it? It's a name, right? It's a name of a person. Okay? So you know that Yishmael ben Netanya is going to be separate from Umi Hargo. So now, what is Umi Hargo? Those are the two words before it. Right? In between Achikam and Yishmael, you have Umi Hargo. Right? Who killed him? We saw that Gedaliah was killed. That's what it just said. So the question that the Gemara asks is, Umi Hargo. Who killed him? So then it tells us who killed him. Yishmael ben Netanya. So now the question is Hargo. The word after Yishmael ben Netanya, is that a new idea? Or is that part of the answer? Umi Hargo, who killed him? Meaning who killed Gedaliah? Okay. Yishmael ben Netanya. Is it Yishmael ben Netanya or is it Yishmael ben Netanya Hargo?
I'd say Hargo. The scene of Hargo.
Okay, Netanya is the guy, that's the guy's father's name, presumably. Right. Yishmael ben Netanya Hargo. Okay, in other words, it's the full answer. And who killed him? Yishmael ben Netanya killed him. Okay, but it's the same word. So in this particular case, it happens to be that the repeat word Hargo is a flag that tells you there's a pause here, but you have to have an awareness again. And if you talk out the Gemara, this would be a cinch. If you say Umi Hargo and who killed Gedaliah, the Gemara answers Yishmael ben Netanya. Hargo, Yishmael ben Netanya killed him. Now, could the Gemara have stopped after just mentioning the guy's name?
Yes.
Absolutely. But the Gemara didn't. And that's something which we need to be cognizant of and aware of, that when the Gemara asks the question in this particular case, saying Umi Hargo, that the Gemara reuses the word Hargo to indicate, which means who killed him, the Gemara reuses the word Hargo to answer the question in a complete sentence. Right, remember in grammar school, they tell you answer in complete sentences. Who killed Gedaliah ben Achikam? You can't write Yishmael ben Netanya. Incomplete sentence. Yishmael ben Netanya killed Gedaliah. Right, that's a complete sentence. So that's what the Gemara is doing here. It's giving us a complete sentence to answer the question. Okay, and okay. So where's our next clear, very clear pause based on the formula that we have been seeing up until now? Right, at the end of the line. Why? Because the next word is ve'amai. Not just vav, but ve'amai, which we've seen every time, right? We've seen ve'amai so many times already. So now we have to break down that phrase. Lelamedcha, sheshikula, misason, shel, tzadikim, kisreifas, beis, Eloheinu. Any familiar phrases there? One's a repeat. Hey, Beis Eloheinu, we've already seen. Beis Eloheinu means the house of our gods. So that's the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so that's fine. So now we know what that means. Now we have to figure out everything else. Lilamedcha, Sheshkula, Misasan, Shel, Tzadikim, Kisreifas, Beis Eloheinu. Okay, so any other familiar words there? I would imagine most people are familiar with the word Tzadikim, right? What's Tzadikim?
Righteous.
Righteous people. Okay, now... what do we have? What is Misa's son?
Killed.
not killed.
Mace died.
So the death of a tzaddikim. Misa son shall tzaddikim means the death of tzaddikim. Oh, well, now that we've determined that misa son shall tzaddikim is a phrase, the death of tzaddikim, and we know that beis Eloheinu is a phrase, so kisreifas has to be attached, it's not going to be attached to tzaddikim, it has to be attached to what comes next. So misa son shall tzaddikim is kisreifas beis Eloheinu. That the death of the righteous is ke means like, sreifas means the burning. It's like the burning of Beis Eloheinu. It's like the burning of the Beis Hamikdash. Now let's go back to the beginning of that phrase. Lelamedcha, sheshkula. Okay, now, lelamed. I imagine some people are familiar with the word lamed, or lomed. Right? Lomed is to learn or to teach, right? Lamedcha is to have you learn or to teach you. Sheshkula. Okay, shkula is not necessarily an easy word, but shkula means that it is similar or it's related. Actually, there's a word which everybody here I know is familiar with that is related to shkula. I'll give you a hint. It's money in Israel.
Shekel.
Okay, what's a shekel? What's money in general? Once upon a time. What's a shekel? It's a weight. Okay, shekel is an ancient kind of money. A dollar isn't a weight. Maybe once upon a time a dollar was a weight. Now a dollar is a piece of paper. Okay, I mean it's a, whatever its value is. But a shekel is a weight. Okay, so when we talk about the word shekula, and we talk about we think about weight. So in this case, it talks about the equality of it. Sheshkula. There's an equality. In other words, the weight of Misa San Shel Tzadikim, of the death of the righteous, is like the burning of the temple. Okay? I mean, you need look no further than what just happened last month. Rabbi Steinman in Israel passed away. How many people filled the streets to go to his funeral? Hundreds of thousands. Hundreds of thousands. I remember when Rabbi Avadya Yosef died, 800,000 people, they were estimating, were in the streets of Israel. That's 10% of the population of the country, 800,000, and a quarter of the population is Arab. So that means that more than 10%, because I'm sure that everybody there was Jewish, that came to his. Okay, 800,000 people supposedly came to Kennedy's funeral. So who was more impressive, Rav Avadya Yosef or Kennedy? Well, I'll tell you this: Rav Avadya Yosef died, and he was buried later that day, and 800,000 people showed up. Okay, Kisreifas Beis Eloheinu. It's like a destruction of a Beis Hamikdash. Kennedy, they had time to prepare. I mean, come on, that was. And in a country of 250, I don't know how many millions there were at the time. You know, nice crowd, no comparison. Okay, so let's continue. So now that we see that, we get to our clear question, which we're familiar with because we've seen it before. Ve'amai, we're in the fourth wide line. Ve'amai, come on, guys, tell me where is the break? Ve'amai,
Shvi.
The first Shvi. Ve'amai Karile Shvi. Why is it called seven? And what's the answer? Shvi Lachadashim, the seventh month. Okay, we move on. Quote from the pasuk: Tzom Asiri, the fast of the tenth. That's a quote from the pasuk. So, what is it? Okay, so familiar with Zarah Teves, that's the 10th of Teves. Okay, where's the next break? Clear break? Why? Because after Yerushalayim is?
Shenema.
Okay, so let's break down that phrase. Shebo Samach Melech Bavel Al Yerushalayim. Any phrase there that stand out? Yeah, Melech Bavel. Okay, what's Melech Bavel? What's a Melech?
King.
A king. What's a Bavel?
Babylonia.
A place, okay? So Melech Bavel is the king of Bavel, the king of Babylonia. Shebo Samach Melech Bavel. The king of Bavel, Shebo, we had the word Shebo, means on it, meaning on that date. Shebo, on that date, the 10th of Teves, Samach Melech Bavel, the king of Bavel, Samach, came close. Al Yerushalayim, into the city. That's referring to a siege. Okay, when the king of Babylonia put a siege around Yerushalayim. And what's the proof? Shenemar. And this pasuk I did give you, so you can look it up. Right? So if you, close your booklet for a second and go to the back over here. Okay, I gave you that pasuk. Vayhi, where it says Yechezkel 24. Vayhi dvar Hashem Eli, the word of Hashem appeared to me. Bashanat Shiyis, the ninth year. Bachoresh Oasiri, the tenth month. Be'asor lachoresh leimor. Okay, in the tenth of the month, saying, Ben Adam, k'sav l'chaz, shem ayom hazeh, tzem ayom hazeh, son of man, write for yourself the name of this day, this very day, because on this day, Samach Melech Bavel, Yerushalayim, the king of Babylonia, Babylon has besieged Jerusalem, tzem ayom hazeh, on this day. Okay? So,
what's the
Zachariah? No, you're referring to Zachariah.
First, he was killed. Yeah.
Zechariah was killed by which king? Yeah. So he was killed before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Which? No, the first. And that's the crazy thing. That Zechariah is talking about fasts based on events that hadn't happened yet. But that's because he's a prophet.
And his blood was boiling in the
Beis. Right. That's the whole Nebuzaradan story. Nebuzaradan was Nebuchadnezzar's executioner. Okay, so who was, how was he?
But it was a Jewish king that killed him.
Yeah, I don't remember the name. But, right, so then it must have been before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, because when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the kingship ended. So, yeah. Okay, so we go back now to that page, and what do we see? The quote ends. Shnei Vayidvar Bishnas that she is Bachodesh Atzir Betzal Chodesh like more Ben Adam Ksav L'Chashem Ayom Azeh Etzem Ayom Azeh Samach Bel Bavel Yishalayim. Okay, so we just saw that quote. It's a two line quote in the Gemara. So we basically just went through two lines because we saw them in the pasuk that we looked up. Okay, so again, the proof that he's bringing that the fast of the 10th month is the 10th of Teves is because the Pasuk says that when did the king of Bavel approach Yerushalayim? When did he put a siege around Yerushalayim? On the 10th of Teves. Okay, that's what the Pasuk said. Okay, so continue. And now we have the word Ve'amai, which we've seen before. Everybody with me? I'm on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th wide line. 5 words from the end of the line. Ve'amai, karile, asiri. Everybody with me? Right. Yeah. We stop after the first asiri because we've done this. This is the fourth time we're doing it already. Right? Yes? I heard one yes. Okay, ve'amai, karile, asiri. And why are we calling it the 10th? Because asiri... Lachadashi. It's the 10th month.
Isn't this the 5th?
No. It's the 10th. We're talking about Teves.
That the 5th fast.
It's the 4th fast. We had Tzom Ravi'i, the fast of the 4th month. Tzom HaChamishi, the fast of the 5th month. Tzom HaShavi'i, the fast of the 7th month, which is Tzom Gedalia. And now we're up to the fast of the 10th month. Okay? So that's the one. So now, if you remember how this all began, Rabbi Shimon is telling us... Rabbi Shimon is telling us the 4 things that Rabbi Akiva taught with which I disagreed with him. So up until now, he's just been defining what the 4 fast days are and explaining how their fast days and Zechariah's numbers refer to months, not specific dates, but he gave us the specific dates. Right. Okay? So now we have to understand the next part, because he's going to tell us how he disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so now we have to understand the question that he's going to ask. Let's see if we can figure out the break. Okay, we're starting on the second word on the line after Lachadashim, because we already said that the 10th equals the 10th month, and now we're up to the word Vehalo. So where is our break? Okay, so we have Vilama. Good, that's a good one. Okay, there's a Vav there. Is that a vav that's blue and gold? Is it Rishon Velama, or are those two separate words that aren't connected?
That's one word.
No, I'm saying, look at the word beforehand. Okay, is it Rishon Velama, or is it Rishon is part of the previous phrase, and Velama is a new phrase? Okay, Velama is a new phrase, correct. Velama is a question, it's not a noun. Blue and gold usually combines two nouns. Okay, that kind of vav. But this is not that kind of a vav. Velama indicates a new question. So we have six words, rather, there. V'halo haya ra'ui ze lichtov Rishon. Now, the word vehalo is Gemara language for and isn't it? Because the word lo means, what does the word lo mean?
No.
No. I mean, yes, it does mean no. Correct. Okay, lo means no. So vehalo means and is it not? Vehalo haya ra'ui. Ra'ui. Ze lichtov Rishon.
Ra'ui is a proof?
Ra'ui is actually worthy. A raya is a proof. No, it's worthy. V'halo haya ra'ui ze lichtov Rishon. What's Rishon?
First.
Lichtov? To? Don't forget about the prefix. To write. To write. W-R-I-T-E. So v'halo haya ra'ui ze lichtov Rishon. He says, shouldn't this one have been written first? So now we have to understand, what is he talking about? Okay, he's talking about the most recent thing which he had mentioned. What is the most recent thing which he mentioned? The fast of the tenth month. Mm-hmm. Everybody with me?
Yes.
The last thing he just mentioned was the fast of the 10th month. Okay, and what was the reason for the fast of the 10th month? What happened at that time, in the 10th month?
The siege.
So why do you think that he would say, shouldn't that one have been mentioned first? Shouldn't that one have been written first?
Because that's the first thing that happened.
So what's, in one word, that's called
chronological.
Okay, so Rabbi Shimon is saying, if you're going to be listing the fasts, and clearly they're all based on chronology, because the city was breached, Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and later on, Gedaliah was killed, and then the tenth, and then the city was surrounded. Hold on a second, that makes no sense. If you're doing this based on chronology, because clearly the first three are based on chronology, so when should the fast of the 10th month be listed?
First,
it should be listed first. So whoever, so what's going to be the answer? Rabbi Akiva's answer is
in the month order.
Right. Okay. That what Zechariah is doing it based on when they appear in the calendar from Nisan to Adar, right? It makes sense. I'm going to mention the fast of the 4th month, the 5th month, the 7th month, the 10th month, because that's a different kind of chronology. We're not doing it based on years of when these events took place. We're doing it based on how we observe them. We observe them based on the order of the months. And that's going to be the answer. So now let's see. Vilama nichtav Kan kidei lehasdir chodashim kitikanon. Now I know to stop there because of the vav. Okay, and I'm sorry that I'm going a little faster, but I want to get to the point where he's saying that he's disagreeing. And we're a little past our 45-minute mark, but I can't leave you hanging like this. Okay, so he said. So let's understand this question. Vilama. What is vilama? Nichtav. Okay, correct. Kan, here. Kedei means in order. Lehasdir. Lehasdir has the word seder in it. What's a seder?
Order.
An order. Lehasdir chodashim, the months, kitikanon. Based on their order, right? Based on how they are takana, based on how they are decreed. Based on the, right? So in other words, like we said, that it's based on the fourth month, fifth month, seventh month, tenth month. Nothing to do with the history. It's not about the history and the chronology of history. It has to do with the fact that these are the months. And now Rabbi Shimon's going to tell us, nope, I disagree, and I'm going to prove it. So what is he going to say? Remember, Rabbi Shimon's, did anybody else care that the order of the, did you care that
no.
that the order of the fasts don't follow the chronology of history?
No.
Did you care?
No.
So who clearly cared?
He does.
Rabbi Shimon. That's why he asked the question. So what's he going to be telling us? He says, no, I do think it's based on the chronology. Well, if he thinks it's based on the chronology, what is he going to have to do?
Prove
what? So what's he going to have to do? He's going to have to change something. He's going to have to find a different reason for at least one fast. For the fast of which month? For the fast of Teves. Correct. And that is what he does. Okay? Let's take a look. We're on the third word on the line. Va'ani. And I. Remember, this is how we started the whole thing. Rabbi Akiva says one thing, and I disagree. So if he says Va'ani, what's he going to say? Eini Omer Keng. I do not say this same thing. Ella. Okay, so Ella is also, it's a shock word. Rather, what am I going to say? The following. Okay, where's our next break? Okay, so Chamisha Beteves is a date, clearly. And where's our next clear break? Shenemar. Okay, so let's take a look. So let's break up the Gemara until the word Shenemar. Ella, he says, rather, Tzom Ha'asiri Zeh Chamisha Beteves. Okay, I think everybody follows how we get that. Tzom Ha'asiri, that's a quote from the Pasuk. Tzom Ha'asiri means the fast of the 10th. Zeh Chamisha Beteves, that's a date. Okay, the whole Gemara up until now has been trying to show us that the quote from Zechariah refers to a month number, and that immediately after it tells us the month number, the Gemara, or whoever is the speaker in the Gemara, gives us a date assigned to that month for the fast. Okay, so what's the rest? Shebo, Bas, Shemua, Lagola, Shehuksa, Ha'ir. And I'm stopping there because of the Shenem. Okay, so now let's try to understand what this means. Shebo, that's a word we've had before. She, that, bo, no. In it. Beis Aleph means comes. Bo, the beis means in, and the vav means it. Shebo, in it, meaning in that date. In that date, meaning in the fifth of?
Teves.
In the fifth of Teves. Bus, now you can use your translation for ba. Okay, Beis Aleph here. Right? Came. Shemua Lagola Shehuksa Ha'ir. What's a Shemua? What word do you see in Shemua? A word we all know.
Shema.
What is Shema?
Here.
You heard something. You heard something. So a Shemua is actually a rumor. We use this in Halacha. It's not so much, it's not relevant as much today. Because we have phones, email, internet, you know, information gets shared across the world in a second. But once upon a time, let's say a fellow lives in, pick a city in Europe, lives in Pinsk, and his sister lives somewhere in France, and she passes away. Okay? When's he going to find that? When is he going to get that information? It's going to take some time. It's going to take some time. So that's called a Shemua Rechoka. It's a rumor that you hear in a distant time, right? So what does he do? Doesn't hear about it for several weeks, months. So what does he do? He sits Shiva at that point in time, if he even sits Shiva at all. Right, okay, right. That's I don't want to get into that. But the point is that that's what a Shemua is. A Shemua is a rumor, something you hear. So Shemua Lagola, the word came to the Gola, the diaspora, Shehuksa Ha'ir, that the city had been destroyed. Shenamar, now you can go back to the pasuk which I gave you, the last pasuk on the page, Chesedekel 33. So remember, the previous one, when was the date? In the ninth year, in the 10th month. And now, in Chesedekel 33, it's now in the 12th year, so some time has passed, in the 10th month, on the 5th day of the month, so it's the fifth of Teves, came this exile, a fugitive from Jerusalem, and said to me that the city was struck. So what's Rabbi Shimon saying? What's the fast for the month of Teves?
The fifth
of Teves. And what's the reason for the fast?
It's when the rumors.
Because of getting the bad news. Right. Okay, now what's the difference? What's the difference between Rabbi Akiva's view and Rabbi Shimon's view?
One is when it happened, one is when you heard about it.
Right, so Rabbi Shimon is saying, I heard the destruction of the base of Mikdash, tear. If you hear a Torah is burned, tear your clothes. You hear the destruction of the base of Mikdash, you tear your clothes. If you hear that Yerushalayim is under siege, or if Yerushalayim is under siege, guess what could happen? They could be repelled, they could all die, okay, they could decide to leave. All kinds of things can happen. Mm-hmm. So the city, you know, under siege, according to Rabbi Shimon, not that big of a deal. Not something to mourn. In the same way that hearing about the event. And this way, what has he now done to the fasts? He's turned them, not just being chronological on the calendar the way Rabbi Akiva looked at it, but it's actually chronological in terms of right, in terms of the historical event. Because he's saying, no, we need to mourn when we heard about the destruction of the base of Mikdash, and the date is the 5th of Teves. So what that goes to show, by the way, because you have this debate, was that yes, there is a debate, yes, the Pasuk tells us that these fasts were supposed to take place in these specific month numbers, but the Pasuk did not tell us what the date was. And so that was a debate. That's something which people, you know, decided over. So Rabbi Shimon is showing how he disagreed with Rabbi Akiva because he had a different way of viewing how you pick that month as being something to mourn. Okay, so I hope that again, in seeing the different notations, we continue to get a feel of how you break down a piece of Gemara, and then once you know where the breaks are, the challenge becomes much less formidable in terms of breaking down a 4, 5, 6, 7 word phrase, rather than trying to, you know, make your way through and figure out things as you go along. So it takes a little bit more of an effort. But at the same time, it's a lot more rewarding because you can see how the Gemara flows. And especially when you note the repetitions and you figure out where the breaks are, it should be more of a rewarding experience rather than an extremely frustrating one.